Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I feel very privileged and honored and blessed to welcome the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear Sandra Ray.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra, for agreeing to be on Miracles Happen.
Yes, I'm here in Southern California, and you are where?
In the Bay Area.
Yeah, okay.
And all around the world, whispering in people's ear everywhere.
Great.
Sandra, you've just written a new book. I actually was looking at all of your books, and it looks like you've written 8 books.
No, more like 18. I've written 17 that are published, and I've written others that are not published yet, so it's more like 18.
How prolific, how energetic.
Yeah, no, that's the easy part of my life, to write the books.
Is it really?
Yes, uh-huh. Right, all I need is the first paragraph, then it just flows, and I never have to cut and paste. You know, but, you know, there's other responsibilities once you've written a book. You have to travel around and live it.
Well, you do that, and, you know, you know how you can just sort of check into people and feel into them?
Uh-huh.
Whenever I feel into you, and I've known about you for 25 or 30
years.
Oh,
thank years, you.
But whenever I tune into you, I feel this rock-solid, complete, devout commitment.
Oh, thank you. That's true. I would say that's true.
To walking your talk.
Yes, it's an important thing, yes.
I really feel that about you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And your latest book is Rock Your World with the Divine Mother.
Right.
I love that.
I think that's the most powerful book I've ever written. And it's really important now because the Divine Mother is the answer. I mean, we cannot stay out of balance like we are. You know, we've gone as far as we can go with the patriarchal energy, not to make men wrong. But the fact is we've all been addicted to the patriarchy, and we need to balance it out now.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the patriarchy so much as just testosterone.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you call
it. What?
Whatever you want to call it.
Acute testosterone in men and women.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, women thinking they're supposed to be all of those masculine aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with the divine mother consciousness.
It is wonderful. You know, in that book, I also wrote a whole chapter about men who have surrendered to the Divine Mother, and they're very powerful. And so I think it's important that men need to realize, you know, how much the Divine Mother will benefit them also.
Well, talk some more about that.
Yes, well, the men that I have interviewed that surrendered to the Divine Mother, and by the way, I'm on my way to see Amaji in San Francisco this weekend.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, and the men that I talked to, their whole lives were so improved by their surrendering to the Divine Mother. They had so much more peace and actually more power, because, you know, the feminine is the divine power of the creation anyway. And the amazing thing is all my gurus that I surrendered to in India who were male, I finally figured out the secret of their power and their miracles is that they were all surrendered to the Divine Mother, and it took me years to figure that out. And so, you know, the Divine Mother really helps us get into our real spiritual power and the power of life. And it's life-enhancing. It's easier. The surrender to the Divine Mother makes everything easier and at the same time more powerful.
Well, it's also that place where you can step into the unreasonable, the magic, and the miraculous.
Uh-huh. I know.
Because
the miraculous, for sure. I mean, for 10 years, my guru, Babaji, showed me all the meaning of the Divine Mother, because I didn't know. I was raised in a very patriarchal religion, the Lutheran Church. We didn't even have the Virgin Mary. So I didn't even know what the Divine Mother meant, so I asked to be shown, you know. And so over a 10-year period, I had all those miracles shown to me that are written in the book, and anybody can have those miracles if you open up to it. And I was just astonished, you know, astonished that I had never been exposed to that. And who knows in how many lifetimes I was probably in a patriarchal church, you know, and had no understanding of the Divine Mother. And it changed me completely. And these men that I interviewed, they were like yogis. I mean, they were so high. So I'm happy to see I'm coming to the Bay Area to see Amity this coming weekend.
Are you going to see her in San Ramon?
Yes, San Ramon is after.
You know what? You ought to come and stay with me, Sandra. I live about 10 miles from there.
Oh, you're kidding.
And have a beautiful place, and you can swim in the pool. The pool's 85.
How do I find you?
I'll call you later.
Okay.
Is that
so
this
nice
weekend?
Thank you.
Is that this weekend?
Yeah, we're coming up Saturday in Sunday night and Monday night and Tuesday night are the events.
Okay, how many of you are there?
Myself, my fiance, and another devotee of Babaji. Three of us.
Well, I don't know if I have that many beds, but I mean, we can figure
it
out.
That's so sweet of you, but we do have a hotel room already lined up, I think, you know. So, but I'd like to see you anyway.
I would like to see you, and I feel like two things with you. I have tremendous things to learn from you.
Oh,
and
thank you.
And I also feel we can give tremendous, gifts, unfathomable gifts together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So tell us about your fiance.
Oh, yes. Well, he's a definite present from my guru. I asked Babaji, please give me my twin soul. I have no time for arguments and conflict or difficult times. I got too much work. So if you want me to have somebody, it has to be somebody that I can have an easy time with, you know.
Yeah.
So I asked for deep ease, you know, and I really did. I met Mark. He is a rebirther like myself. He's a writer like myself. He's a teacher of the Course in Miracles like myself. He's into the Kahuna Ho'oponopono Hawaiian practice like myself. And he's a poet and he's an artist. So, you know, we're the same and we get along really easily. So he's been sent to me to help me with the mission. And we have no doubt about that. So we committed our relationship to no conflict.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah, and we both did that immediately. And we stuck with that, you know, and it really helps when you commit your relationship to the Holy Spirit or something higher. That has to be the first step, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know, I studied relationships for a long time, and, you know, I really feel like I cleared myself a lot so I could be in deep ease. And I meditated on that for a whole year before I met him so that when he came, I could be surrendered to deep ease, you know, because the ego is addicted to conflict, and I just didn't want any conflict.
You know, you bring up an interesting thing for me because I was with my twin flame for 40 years.
Oh.
And happily. And we were, I'm going to be like the cosmic Johnny Carson and ask you what I really want to know. Is that all right?
Yeah, whatever.
Well, here it is.
Here it is.
Along with you and many others, my husband and I and one friend of ours have felt that we were here to age to a certain point, then undo that and be immortal ascended masters on earth, walk the way that Christ did on
uh-huh.
the earth,
mm-hmm.
and do all of those miracles, and including overcoming, being total master of the body the way Babaji is.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Being uh-huh. here to stay here until all are ascended and free and show the way. And so last year, he died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. From what condition?
Of cancer.
Oh.
And it was, and my understanding is, and he came back to me and told me that he had to do that before he could do this, that he had never forgiven himself for being a gladiator eons ago, so he assigned himself like a tenfold return of every pain he had ever given.
Oh, I see. So he set it up because he wanted to be cleared of all his karma or something.
Yeah, but I was a little pissed off because it pretty much messed up what, you know...
I can understand, you know. I can understand how you feel because you had that goal, but I think you should never give up that goal.
No, I haven't given up the goal. I have not given up the goal. And I tell you, it was a little bit, you know, I certainly had some death urge come up for myself.
Right, I can understand. And, you know, his departure is a kind of, the positive aspect is clearing the rest of your death urge, right?
Yes, but I've had to be willing to just live for myself, not to live for that sharing, that deep intimacy and
mm-hmm.
sharing,
mm-hmm.
which was one of the things I felt like we were here to do, is give people an example that you can have a happily ever loved after love
mm-hmm.
story.
Yes, that is possible, and I think you should still make that your goal. Really,
well,
I'm sorry to hear that happened, though. We don't understand all the levels of karma that people have, you know. It's karma rules. We don't know people's karma like you think, you know.
Yeah, and he wouldn't even, it was so horrible for him, he wouldn't even bring it up to his conscious. Like, that's, as far as he went spiritually, he would not admit there were past lives.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
the problem.
He just wasn't dealing with it, Sandra.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, I guess I, well, we're already talking about immortality
yes,
in the body.
Yes, we are.
We are committed to that, right?
And
so,
I am glad you're still committed to that because, you know, if one doesn't make it in this lifetime, and if they've tried, they will make it in the next lifetime. It is the ultimate goal to ascend, and I think that we need to keep teaching that, you know, and even though everybody may not make it this lifetime, it's the goal. Otherwise, you keep dying and reincarnating for thousands of more lifetimes.
Well,
you know?
And when you get that handled, that's when you can truly, truly, truly be of service, too.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing I want to give,
mm-hmm.
is that people can be master if their body can come in and out at will. But see, I've had to deal with also feeling like he was my treasure, Sandra.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
And I always felt like I had to come up to what God intended me to be in order to deserve him. In other words, I felt like I needed to earn my wings every day.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also was afraid of losing him.
Oh.
You know, like people guard their treasure.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid of losing him. And so I've really had to, you know, as part of immortality, give up the regret. There's been so much regret. If I had done this, if I had done that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I hope you can let go of that, because that doesn't help you at all, does it? You know, we don't know what your higher purpose is, but, you know, every loss is a gain not recognized. You know what I mean? There must be a future for you from this cleansing that you're going through. That's a higher purpose.
Well,
and you know, we have to give up the attachment that we think this is the only one that's there for us, you know?
Well, that I think I know the plan.
Oh, okay, good. Well, stay on it then if you've got it in your head. That's good.
Well, actually, Sandra, then this is a really outrageous thing to say. I want him to rejoin me with these things cleared about the fear of losing him,
mm-hmm.
and with also him having forgiven himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I know this is outrageous to say, but I'm just calling for a resurrection now.
Okay, well, all things are possible, Jesus said. So, you know, I don't discount anybody on anything they say.
Well, haven't you had a lot of impossible, and I use it with quotation marks, haven't you had a lot of impossible things happen before?
Absolutely, and I did write them up for that reason, so people know that, you know, the miracles could be ordinary, it says in the Course, and if it
yes.
happens, something has gone wrong. So, you know, miracle consciousness is where we want to get to.
Well, also, Sandra, the thing we really wanted to give to people is there is no end of true love, mm-hmm. and there is no death.
Yeah.
And there is no reason to be other than absolute perfection in your body.
Right. That's true.
And, you know, Gerald, my husband, was an athlete, and he used to race motorcycles. And,
oh.
And one time he ran out of gas, and he was a whole lap ahead. And so he ran the rest of the way and still beat everybody pushing
oh
his motorcycle.
Oh.
And he's like that. And I just,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just feel that I am calling that back and that it will be even a greater blessing to people because he did do a resurrection.
Mm. Okay.
So am I being too weird here?
You know, I don't. I just know all things are possible, and that's what I learned as, you know, a child in church. And I know Jesus said that, so I'm not going to make anybody wrong for anybody's goals. But I do think we should say this or something higher. You know,
this or something higher.
Mm-hmm. This resurrected or something higher is the right approach, right? Because we don't even know.
Well,
anything
you know,
could happen.
I think the way to ask God for anything is say, you know, it looks like to me this and this and this,
mm-hmm.
but what I really want is what's the highest and the best for
right.
him, the highest and the best for me, and the highest and the best for everyone,
mm-hmm.
so that my life is truly of service.
Yeah.
And that way, it's on the altar.
That's beautiful. And what kind of healing are you doing?
What kind of healing am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm doing the Ho'oponopono.
Oh, that's
I'm
great.
I'm doing praise, love, and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using the violet flame.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm going back to all the past lives and the past in, you know, like basically what I get about the Ho'oponopono, and I know you've worked with the Huna healers and...
Yes, and I just reviewed the course, Ho'oponopono. You know, I would encourage everyone, all listeners, to do that. You know, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And read the book, Zero Limits.
Absolutely. And that is good. We're talking about it because people need to know that that is available. And, you know, I took it from Morna Simeona, one of the original old kahunas in Hawaii, a long time ago in the 70s. And, you know, now they've streamlined it and everything, so I reviewed it with Haleakala just a couple months ago. And
don't you love him?
Oh, yeah, and the methods are so streamlined. I mean, people need to know that these things are available.
Yes, and we were talking about the Ho'oponopono last week on the radio show, and a lady called in and she said she didn't even know what she was doing. And she just used the one tool from Joe Vitale's, one of his first books called The Key.
Uh-huh.
And all she was doing is saying, I love you inwardly to this person in the family that just hated her
mm-hmm.
on sight.
Oh.
And so, in fact, people wouldn't even invite him to the same things. And
uh-huh.
then she wrote a check that bounced to her, and she had to call up and ask forgiveness.
Oh.
So she stayed up, she got up really early, and she was talking to, she was just saying to her inwardly, I love you, I love you, I
mm-hmm.
love you, I love you. And then she called her and told her about the check and said, can I just bring over the cash? And she said, sure. But it was completely changed. It was completely changed.
Oh, yeah, people need to hear that story. That's so beautiful, you know, because the forgiveness, you know, everybody talks about it, but, you know, I'm shocked at how many people have not forgiven at 100%, their parents, for example. You know, and I'll do this forgiveness test on people in class, and I'll say, you know, imagine your father standing in front of you, and on a scale of 0 to 10, where are you at forgiving your father? 10 is total, complete forgiveness for everything, 0 is none. And then you do the same thing with your mother. And they get very low scores. I mean, they're like 5, you know, which is only halfway.
Yeah.
And then I try to push them up, and some of them just are very resistant. And it's not that they can't forgive, it's that they won't. It's a stubbornness, you know, it's a stubbornness of not forgiving. But I think people don't understand the consequences of non-forgiveness, and non-forgiveness causes so much havoc in your physical body and your health, and pushes,
duh.
And the suppressed anger pushes away people, pushes away money, and it shuts out the mind of God. That's the worst thing, you know. It's just you cannot channel the higher forces if you're angry. And people are not in touch with it, but they're usually not forgiving of themselves either. I mean, they'll get little scars on themselves too, you know. So
well,
I would ask the audience, you know, what number do you get on your parents between 0 and 10, and what number do you get on yourself and your siblings and your exes, you know, and to take that forgiveness test and really see what level you're at with all these people.
Ah.
It's really a good test to take. You know, just write down my mother, pick a number, my father, pick a number, myself, pick a number, my exes, pick a number, my siblings.
My exes, pick a number. It sounds like 53, 54.
Yeah. How many, all my ex-mates, yeah. But anyway, especially ex-spouses, you know, some people haven't forgiven them. But the Ho'oponopono is so beautiful that way. It helps you learn to forgive, and some people have a really hard time, you know, forgiving.
Well, you know, as I work with the Ho'oponopono, it's so easy and it's so simple that the Course in Miracles just keeps coming to me.
Yes. You know, and we shouldn't talk about that because that is absolutely the most important work in 2,000 years, as you know, and just want to tell everybody else that it's the correction of religion, and the reason people are so confused is they have all this confused religious dogma that doesn't add up, you know. And so the Course in Miracles corrects all that, and it's so such a high frequency coming directly from Jesus, you know.
Well, it also tunes you into divine mind and turns you away from the appearance world.
Mm-hmm.
And what I get about the Ho'oponopono, what I get about the Course in Miracles and the Ho'oponopono is that there are, you know, it made the Bible make sense to me too.
Right.
That you cannot serve two masters. That means you cannot serve the truth of God perfection and the appearance world.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're using the Ho'oponopono, we're really saying to God, please forgive me for not seeing your perfection and seeing the Warner Brothers world I made up instead.
Yeah, right. And, you know, that's an issue about television because we're trying to get to the fifth dimension, and the television is so stuck in the third dimension, you know. So if you keep watching lots of television, you get stuck in 3D, you know, and all the drama and non-forgiveness and anger. And so one has to be careful, you know. But if you read The Course in Miracles, you go to Christ consciousness. So if we spend more time on that and less time on television, we'd all be feeling a lot better, I think.
Well, you know, the television is the mud and the blood and the shooting and the dying and the crying and the fellow with the switchblade knife.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the belief that people are less than the Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, the other thing from The Course in Miracles where it says the mind that has forgiven itself can only look on gentle sights.
Yes.
And then when you see something that you don't want, you just do the Ho'oponopono on it.
Right.
And,
yes.
And the way you do that is basically saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you.
Yes, and that is definitely the quick version, yes.
Well, talk some more about that, because I think it's, you know, it's the microwave of miracles for right now, I think.
Oh, that's a beautiful way of saying it. Yes, it's beautiful, yes. Well, I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can do forgiveness. I mean, you know, the Ho'oponopono is a wonderful spiritual prayer, and if you do the long form, there's 12 steps, and it's very complete. And in order to learn the short techniques, you need to take the course. Well, if you can't do any of that, you can start by just writing, I forgive myself 100, and you can write 70 times 7. I forgive my mother 70 times 7. I forgive my father 70 times 7, because Jesus said you should forgive 70 times 7, because he was a numerologist too, and that means 490, which means completion. So you write, I forgive my mother completely 70 times a day for 7 days. Then the next week you do your father, the next week you do yourself, etc. That's one way if you are stuck. And then, you know, if you're still angry and you can't get off it, maybe you need to do a candle process where you write all your feelings down each day while a birthday candle is burning. And you,
while a wet candle is burning?
If you're just too angry at somebody, this is a technique you can use. You light a birthday candle, you know, you light it and then you grip the wax and you sit it up. And while it's burning, which is, you know, several minutes, you write all your feelings. And you do this for 9 days and you burn each letter. By the time you get to the 9th day of this candle process, you pretty much have released it all, all your anger, and you burn it. And then you can start doing the forgiveness process. So sometimes it's necessary for people to get all that anger out on paper. Well, if none of these techniques work, then what I do is I tell people that they need to write the following affirmation 108 times. I pray to God, a power greater than myself, for the willingness to change. Because if they can't forgive after doing all that, then they're really stuck in stubbornness. You know what I mean?
I pray to God,
a power greater than myself, for the willingness to change. And you have to write that 108 times at one sitting. And by the time you write that 108 times, something happens. You start getting open to change, you know. And so then you start saying, well, maybe I should forgive this person. But, I mean, the idea would be if everybody could go take Ho'oponopono, but they have to go, you know, online and see when the courses are, and they can't always get to that. So that's why I have other techniques, you know, for people that can't take Ho'oponopono.
Well, the other thing, well, you know, I want to say to people, I know all of this stuff is going on with finances,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's the most important thing to invest in yourself. And all of these jobs that
you
are
think it's the most important thing, what?
To invest in yourself and the quality of your life. And that's
thank
one
you.
Of the best things you can do, to invest
oh, yeah,
in yourself.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I really like that. I think that's so important. If they're going to spend money on anything, they should invest in themselves.
Yes, and it's so important now to really look inside and say, God, what do you want to have done? And, you know, what do you want to do through me?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe let go of a job to allow something higher to come through. Like, I was looking at when I booted up my computer today about Citicorp is letting go 53,000 jobs or something.
Wow.
And I thought, how many people are tired of sitting under fluorescent lights and doing calls all day instead of being outside? Or, you know, like, it looks like the time to turn inside and say, with complete surrender, what is the divine plan for me? You know, what can I do to contribute to the quality of life
mm-hmm.
here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I know you wanted to talk about the spirituality of money and how to remain calm in these times, and I think to do the Ho'oponopono on all of the things that we see in the appearance world. Like, I had Dr. Hugh Lin on a couple weeks ago.
Great.
And one of the things he said about, and I'm using the term loosely here, recession, is that this is all from memory.
Yes.
And we have to stop creating from memory, and so we need to do the Ho'oponopono on the appearance.
No,
so
exactly.
I wanted you to talk some about that because...
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, I definitely agree. It's all the subconscious coming back to haunt us, you know. That's why we use rebirthing as one method of clearing the subconscious, you know. So that's, if you don't, you're always coming from your memory, like he says. And Ho'oponopono is another way to clear your subconscious. And until you clear your subconscious, you are coming from memory. But there are some principles of money I would like to talk about. I mean, the spirituality of money is important now, and that, you know, even in times when during the Great Depression, there were people that made money. So one has to be very careful not to be affected by the external, and you have to be inside in your mind prosperous. And, you know, if you have prosperous thoughts, you will create prosperity. But there is something to the science of wealth, and I think the first step is to realize that there is a divine substance that is trying to come through all of us. And it's always available, and we mold that substance with our thoughts to produce money and things. And people need to focus on the divine substance, which is invisible, instead of focusing on money. Because if you focus on the source, then it will expand. If you're focusing on the result, then it will diminish. So focusing on divine substance and knowing that divine substance is there and it wants you to have everything. And then your job is to allow it, of course. But people don't seem to realize you have to have a relationship with the divine substance. And the way you do that is deep, profound gratitude. So that's the main thing to get, is we have to have a relationship with the divine substance that is available. It's kind of like a formless stuff that we have, can tap into, and we mold it with our thoughts. And we know the divine substance is benevolent and it's on our side. And then we mold it with our thoughts. But we must relate to it with deep, profound gratitude. Those are some of the principles I think people really have to master right now. Because if they get into scarcity consciousness and lack and fear, it's going to make everything worse.
Well, you talked about praise, love, and gratitude even on your website, and I think that is the point we get to using the Ho'oponopono,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it is the attitude of gratitude that creates miracles.
Right, exactly, yes. And, you know, one has to go around just thinking of things to appreciate all day long. That's the key. Thinking of things to appreciate. Because most people are, you know, focusing on problems instead of seeing them as opportunities. Most people are complaining instead of praising God. You know? And this is why they're stuck and things aren't working. And, you know, if you complain, you just get more negative results. And I wonder if people really understand how their thoughts are producing their results. I think people forget this. I mean, we know negative thoughts produce negative results. But in the subconscious, there are negative thoughts, and those are producing results, too. And so you have to have a way of finding out what negative thoughts are in your subconscious. And that's why it's important to meditate or have rebirthing. And one of the purposes of rebirthing, which is a breathing technique, is to bring your subconscious to your conscious so that you can release it, so you can see what's down there and release it.
Well, you know, and we should, of course, mention that you're one of the birthers of the rebirthing process. You're one of the pioneers.
Yeah, I was there at the beginning. Fortunately, I'm a pioneer with that. I was one of the first people they ever tried it on, and I was very lucky to be a pioneer in that movement, you know. And I did the original research on how your birth affects relationships. And I'm really grateful I had that opportunity. And I want people to know that that's available.
Well, not only that, it's such an apt description. And, you know what I think is it's a thing that ought to be done at parties.
I like that idea.
It's so enlightening.
Oh, my God, thank you for that idea. Well, you know, we do group rebirths at people's houses, but I never thought of making it a part of a party, but why not?
Well, it is the most it is the place people really want to get to when they do drugs and alcohol.
Yes, exactly.
Because it is such a relief and release to let go of old stuff, and the body just feels tremendously alive and joyous. I feel tremendously alive and joyous.
Right, and you know, people don't realize how their birth trauma is affecting them. They've never probably thought about all the trauma they had at their birth, and you know, this is just—they think it's normal. But if you can release that, you feel so much better, so much more alive, and you can actually release all the trauma from your conception, your pregnancy, your delivery, your postpartum, and everything. I mean, that's just one aspect of rebirthing. I mean, you can also release any tension you have or past lives or, you know, crises that are stuck in your body. And it's available. You know, these things, the Course in Miracles, Ho'oponopono and rebirthing together is really dynamite. You know, it's a really dynamite combination. If you know about all three of those, you can really make progress.
Wow.
And I do take people to India with me also.
I know you.
I'm going in the spring. I'm getting married there at the Divine Mother Festival, April 5th. And the, you know, it's on my website, sandraray.com, if anybody wants to go to India. And I make it easy for people because they can get rebirth if they're in my group, you know, and they don't suffer, or it's not hard if you're in my group. You can also go alone, but it's much harder, you know. But
I wouldn't go to India alone.
I know. Some people have done it, and it's hard. But to go in my group is much easier, and we go to Babaji's ashram, and it's such a thrill, you know, and you make such rapid change. And we do 9 straight days of worship to the Divine Mother ceremonies. You know, and it's really amazing. So people who are interested in the rapid process can go on my website and look at that.
Oh, thank you, Sandra. And I also recommend, you know, my favorite title of all your books is How to Be Chic and Fabulous and Live Forever.
All right, and I think that might be out of print. I'm not sure, but maybe they can get it on Amazon.com. Right now I'm rewriting the rebirthing book, so there'll be a lot about that information in there. But I just finished a book with my fiancé called, well, I don't know if I should say it, but it really, it's about Babaji, our guru, and it's just incredible. It's about how to have a miracle with Babaji, and we just are working on it today, the last part, as we speak.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's going to come out.
Talk a little bit more about Babaji and what he is doing on Earth and has been doing for the last 5,000 years.
Babaji, actually, thank you for that. Babaji is actually an avatar, which means he was not born of a woman, which is hard for people to comprehend, but he materialized his body directly from the source and in a ball of light, and he can dematerialize and rematerialize at will. And he materialized his body in 1970 in a ball of light and appeared as a young man, and he did not open his eyes or eat or sleep or drink or do anything for a whole 40 days. He sat like that without eating, sleeping, or drinking. And he would just raise his hand and bless people, because if he opened his eyes, people would pass out. He was so much pure spirit. Then he kept descending more into matter, and he began calling devotees from other lifetimes. And we in the United America devotees were called around 1977. And we went to see him, and I saw him about four times in the flesh. It took me 2 years to recover from the sight of him the first time I saw him. It was so intense.
What was the recovery like?
Well, I was just, you know, I felt he changed my whole electronic structure and everything. I for example, I couldn't wear a watch. Think the whole watch would just fly apart.
You had to catch up.
Yeah, and I don't know, it took me 2 years to integrate him. It was just so powerful, because imagine meeting somebody not born of a woman. You know, it's like beyond our comprehension, really. And he was here 14 years, and we still haven't integrated everything that he taught us then, but I have a feeling he will come back in 2012. That's my feeling. He comes and goes. I mean, he may appear to people. He appears to people in dreams or in their rebirthing sessions. A lot of time they see him, and if you do see him in a dream or rebirthing, that means he actually came and blessed you. But people can read the book Autobiography of a Yogi, about written by Yogananda, and that chapter 33 and 34 are about Babaji, and that book would give people a really good idea of who he is. And his love is available now, and, you know, we need it. We need all the help we can get. So, you know, my master is Babaji, and, of course, Jesus through the Course in Miracles and Amati and the Divine Mother. And, you know, I recommend to people that they link themselves up to one of these masters right now. I mean, you know, the formula is here. You can have Ho'oponopono, the Course in Miracles, rebirthing. You can have Amati, Jesus, and Babaji, the Course in Miracles. We have the tools now to become enlightened. They're here. And, like, our parents didn't have all those tools.
And, you know, it's very, 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 very important to just apply them with such devout fervor, with absolute conviction, and with absolute, just like gravity.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all about the application, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do any good to have the tools if you don't use them and use them and use them.
Right. I mean, you can read the Course in Miracles and it just becomes mental, but if you apply the lessons, that's the real thing, you know. And, of course, all the answers to every problem are in the Course in Miracles. It's a question of reading it every day, taking a lesson, and then applying it. And if you do apply it, everything does become a miracle. I mean, you know, it's like sitting with Jesus himself, really. But you're right, the application is the key. It's the real key. So we try to get up in the morning and take a walk and do our mantras and read the Course in Miracles before we start our day. And when we do that, we feel much better, you know? And otherwise you get in front of your computer and you forget everything.
It's not a good idea to start with a computer, is it?
No, so...
Or don't call PG&E or,
If people would just do the simple thing, you get up, you take a walk, you do your mantras, you read your Course in Miracles lesson, you do a meditation or whatever your spiritual practice is, before opening the computer, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, it does. It's like, don't show me the headlines, I just got up.
Everything is so speeded up, you know.
Yeah.
But the good news is you can make thousands of years of progress in 1 year now. It would have taken thousands of years before.
So, let's go back to immortality and praise, love, and gratitude.
Okay.
To me, praise, love, and gratitude is flowering, and complaint is decay.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, complaint is definitely decay, and it's descending the ladder of holiness, and it's not life-enhancing, that's for sure. You know, it's life depreciating. You know, that's the thing. You know, everybody should say, if what I'm doing, is it life enhancing or life depreciating? Am I ascending the ladder of holiness or am I descending? You know, we need to ask ourselves that constantly. Complaining is really the wrong direction. You're descending the ladder of holiness. You're going against the life force. And I tell people when they come with me to India, I said, the one rule is no complaining. Everything is so different that people wouldn't want to complain, you know. And I just said, this is the one rule, you don't complain, you just go with the flow and you go with the flow.
That toilet paper thing gets to me.
You've been to India, right?
No, I just have friends that have been to India.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You can take your own. Well, maybe you'll join me this year.
I don't know. I haven't had ever the slightest desire to go there.
Oh, okay. Wow, I love it. I just can't get enough of it.
I get that.
I mean, everything, all they care about is how can you be more in love with God, you know, and you get in a taxi and they all have an altar and, you know, it's just mind-blowing, you know, and everybody's so tolerant of everybody and they're so sweet and they're so holy and they teach me so much because they're just so surrendered, you know.
Yeah, I do know. So do you practice yoga?
I don't use hatha yoga. My practice is, my spiritual practices are walking and doing mantras and the Course in Miracles and rebirthing. And I don't always do yoga. I'm not so disciplined in that, but I recommend it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's good.
Well, I've been interested in the kind of yoga that Babaji brought because he has said it's part of, what you can do for immortality or to flower.
Oh, you mean the Kriya Yoga?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, yes, the Kriya Yoga that he told Yogananda to bring to the West is very good, but it's very difficult. And he told us when we were with him that it's too difficult for modern times and that rebirthing was the new Kriya Yoga.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, he said that.
I'm so glad. Because I did, you know, rebirthing's so easy. And, I got this, that's why I'm asking you, I got this tape and I could only do like maybe half of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, people don't have the time or the patience very much to do the old Kriya Yoga anymore. That's what he told us. And so that's why he gave us rebirthing for the Western world, because it's so fast, you know. So that's what he told us. It's the new Kriya Yoga, and I believe it, you know, because it works, and it's really fast.
It does, and it also... Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, I just heard a click. It also is so enlivening, and it clears the DNA.
Uh-huh, I know. Yeah, well, I had the privilege of taking rebirthing to Russia, and the rebirthers I trained, they actually rebirth doctors, and the doctors wired each other up, and they scientifically proved that it produces rejuvenation of the body and integrity of the brain, and that was an actual scientific study. So people need to know, you know, that it's not something that's lightweight. It's real powerful, and it really does produce rejuvenation.
It's one of the most amazing and enlivening things I've ever done.
I know. Well, thank you. How many sessions have you had?
I don't even know. My friend Joanna Cherry is a rebirther, and I've done it a lot with her, and it comes up to work on specific things with.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. You can work on anything, you know, and breathe it out. That's the good news. That's the really good news.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have all these practices, isn't it? I mean, we're so fortunate, and I just want people to know that they don't have to be in pain and don't have to put up with it and they don't have to be resigned to it, and there is a way out. There is a way out of being in pain in this body. And, you know, all these techniques take you out of pain. And I just feel sad when there's people out there that are just tolerating pain, you know, thinking they can't do anything because, you know, we say all pain is the effort involved in clinging to a negative thought. And you can locate the thought and change it and breathe it out. You can get out of the pain.
Woohoo! Well, and truly, we want more for people than getting out of pain.
Yes,
we want people to bloom and thrive and flourish and grow and create. You know, one of my favorite things from the Course in Miracles says, "Holy Child of God." Well, let me see, I have it here. Child of God, you were created to create the good, the beautiful, and the holy. Do not forget this.
That's right.
I love that.
That's beautiful. Oh, thank you so much for all your work.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me, and I'm really glad to know you and possibly see you soon.
I am too, and I'm excited about your relationship, and that's what I want for myself.
Oh yes. Yes, I'll hold that space for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, my relationship before was very magical. There's got to be a divine equivalent of that's appropriate for now.
Absolutely, because once you've known what that's like, you can recreate it.
Woohoo! Well, I like it.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
is it 3 o'clock then? I think it is.
No,
right?
I think we have 8 minutes.
We have 8 minutes.
Wow,
I had the wrong time on my watch. Okay.
Well, no, you didn't. We got started a little bit late, and so Don said to go right up until 3. And we have 7 minutes now. What do you want people most to know?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about spiritual healing, which is, you know, I was a nurse for 14 years before I became a rebirther, and then now I teach spiritual healing, and it really is what I've learned from the Course in Miracles and rebirthing. It has nothing to do with what I've learned from medicine. And, you know, I just want people to know that you can process your own symptoms and not get a full-blown disease. The minute you get a symptom of any kind, you start saying, you know, what is it trying to teach me? What's the negative thought causing this? And, you know, instead of saying, I don't know, you can say it to another person, the negative thought causing this symptom is, and then you blurt it out, or you can write it out, the negative thought causing this symptom is, or the negative thoughts causing the symptom are, and you write it down. And then the Course would say, you have to be clear on what are your payoffs for having this condition. In other words, what is your neurotic benefit that you're getting out of it? Because the Course says you won't give up the condition until you've given up the payoff. So the payoff would be like, I get attention, or I don't have to work, or, you know, get my mother to love me, or you can have any kind of payoff, but you have to know what your payoffs are. So that would be, this is part of a truth process. You ask yourself, what's the cause? What's the thought causing it? What's the payoff? And what's my fear of giving it up? That's the real important one. Because the Course says, you know, you can't have a miracle till you get over your fear of the miracle. So it would say, instead of praying for healing of your cancer overnight, you have too much fear of that kind of miracle. You have to pray for release of the fear of the miracle. So you say, okay, I allow the Holy Spirit to undo my fear. What's my fear of giving up this condition? You see? And then you confess that to the Holy Spirit. And you have to process these things, like your thought that causes it, your payoff, and your fear of giving it up. and then you ask the Holy Spirit for help in the cause of your fear. Because we have fear of miracles. We're not used to that. We're strange, aren't we? Yeah, that Course says you have no fear of pain, suffering, and guilt and death. You've been doing it for lifetimes. And your real fear is God and joy and perfection. So we have to process our fear of having a miracle healing.
You know what I think the fear is? I have different words for it, is that we have forgotten and pretended we weren't one with God for so long that we're embarrassed to look on her face.
Yes, I hear you. We have done that for eons and eons of time, thinking we're separate, and that's the whole problem, isn't it? That's the main thing the Course says we have to correct, is our imagined separation from God. And, of course, that's the only problem there is, and the problem has already been solved because there is no separation from God, right?
Yeah. You know, the way I get it is I forget what book this was in, but it said, it was in Illusions, and it said, the is does not care what part its children play. It just loves them.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so basically that's saying forgive yourself for playing and pretending the Warner Brothers world, the mud and the blood and the shooting and the dying and the fellow with the switchblade knife, and no, it hasn't ever affected your worthiness or your joy or your connection with God.
Oh, yeah, you made me think of another thing. You know, another thing that I want people to know is that we have thoughts that we formed right at birth, which are called preverbal thoughts, or they could have been formed in the womb. And these thoughts are very negative, and they tend to create havoc in our lives, and everybody has one, and we call them a personal lie, which is your core belief, which would be your worst thought about yourself. And every good rebirther knows how to crack this and get down to it.
Mm-hmm.
But these thoughts are like, I'm not good enough, I'm wrong, I'm bad, I can't make it, I'm a disappointment, I'm a failure, I'm weak, I'm whatever, you know, your particular birth script is. I'm guilty. And everybody has these. And until you get down to that, your life cannot work out right. So that's another benefit I wanted to mention from rebirthing, is we get down to the bottom line core belief and take it out. And that changes everything.
Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank you,
uh-huh.
thank you for all you've done to free people. And say I'm so glad for your happiness with Mark and your living a fulfilling, inspiring, beautiful, rich, sweet life.
Oh, thank you so much. I enjoyed being with you today.
Thank you. Will you come back?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to be with you.
And tell people how they can reach you, Sandra, again.
Yes, www.sandraray.com, and they can also email me on there.
Well, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, and a thousandfold return to you for all the good and the beauty and the joy and the freedom and the prosperity that you give to life by being your beautiful self.
Blessings from Babaji to you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And I just appreciate all of you for listening. And most of all, I want to say apply the Ho'oponopono. Apply it to the economy and to everything that you come across in your path. Say, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And that will be the miracle-working, transforming process for you. So easy, so simple. Be here Monday at 2 o'clock. Until then...
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you. that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Amen. Ah, women, ah, children, and you!